You're listening to the Infinite Loopback Podcast, an Apple-themed technology podcast hosted by Brian Baggett, Jim Graham, and Brad Tarver. Welcome back, everyone. This first weekend in January, I guess maybe technically the first full weekend in January. How was your break, everyone?
I had a good break. A nice little time off.
Mine was very nice as well. I think it's the longest I've taken off in years, so it was definitely a welcome break for me.
Either of you guys get to see Rogue One?
I did. It was awesome.
Definitely. And yes, I also thought it was very good, better than I even expected. So
I will say on the topic of the CGI Tarkin and the CGI Leia, there was a really, I don't know if you guys have seen the Nostalgia Critic on YouTube, but there's a guy who will go and review these movies. They're usually done pretty well. He summed up my feelings perfectly on the use of the CGI. Like when they did the Tarkin, they're like, yeah, it was mostly convincing. And when they got to the part about the CGI Leia, which is, you know, really sad now that Carrie Fisher's passed away. But when they got to the CGI Leia, they were like, well, how was it? And they're like, well, how long was she on screen? Well, 10 seconds. So they did a mock-up of it with someone wearing the Princess Leia thing. And they're like, oh, okay. She looks pretty good. And then all of a sudden they made her face all distorted, like, they're like, they would cut it back. Okay, she looks normal. Wait, you have to see it. It was pretty good. I'm not doing it justice. So did you guys get pulled into tech support type duties while you were on the breaks?
We got my in-laws a new iPad Pro, the 9.7-inch version, for Christmas, and I had a hand in setting it up, but I mostly tried to leave it in my mother-in-law's hands just so she could really get used to it. I mean, she already has an iPhone 6, and you hand her an iPad, and she looks at it like, what is this? And you say, it's exactly the same. It's just a lot bigger. You should be able to see it better with your old eyes.
What about you, Jim? Did you do any tech support?
You know, I was trying to think. I don't really think I did that much tech support over the holidays. My sister-in-law got Google Pixel? Is that the name of the new Google phone, Android?
Yeah, the Google iPhone.
She just got one of those. She wanted me to help her with it. I was like, I'm sorry. I don't do Android. You know, it's like I can show you, you know, how to get the stuff off your iPhone onto your computer, and then you can try to get it onto your new phone. But she was having some troubles with that. She ended up doing some Black Friday special when they marked them way down. And, you know, she's like, oh, I've used Android before, and yeah, it was a...
Box it up, bag it up, tell her to take it back to the Best Buy.
You know, it was a mess.
Try to bootstrap iOS on an Android device.
Did you tell her you don't roll with the green bubbles?
Exactly. That's exactly what I told her. I'm like, you're a green friend now. That's no good. So
I think we just got the show title within the first 2 minutes.
I think that was about it for me. Everybody else was pretty okay over the holidays, which is actually quite rare.
So I did a ton of tech support and had a lot of interesting things happen. So I used the free Apple TV, one of the free Apple TVs I got either with Sling or DirecTV, one of the two. And that was my parents' Christmas gift, was to give them a fourth generation Apple TV, which, you know.
You're such a good son.
Well, I try, right? I aim high. I let them borrow my DirecTV Now credentials for a week too, so that they could try it out. And spoiler alert, they ended up subscribing. They liked it. But the interesting thing about this is not the Apple TV itself. It's really the way that I've got them using Siri in conjunction with the Apple TV, and it actually works pretty well for their use case. So right off the bat, I have them talking to it and, you know, entering their passwords by spelling them out by holding down the Siri button, for one thing. Or, you know, they like to watch a lot of Westerns from the 1950s for some reason. So one of the things that I do is I have them hold down that microphone button and say, find me all the Westerns from the 1950s for free. And Siri is smart enough to understand that free means anything I'm already paying for that's authorized. So it'll find only things that you already have access to at no additional cost. They'll say things like, I want to watch Gunsmoke. And then it'll open up the Starz app where Gunsmoke is currently streaming, and they will sit there and watch it through that.
Yeehaw!
Exactly. I don't understand the appeal, but then again, I'm not their age.
My dad does too. I think it's generational. I mean, that's what was on television back in the 50s and 60s was, you know, black and white Westerns.
My grandma watches those old Westerns constantly. So I totally understand.
Really? See, this is something I did not expect. I thought my parents were the outliers here, but apparently it's completely normal in their demographic.
I think that's more of my mother's generation. And she's a couple years younger than my dad, so there's definitely a, you know, probably a gap there in what one of them watched and what the other one watched.
I have a Drobo over here filled with all the things from my childhood, so I'm sure it. I'm not even waiting until I'm old to do that. It's already happening now. But it.
The Waltons. A lot of the Waltons.
Oh, my goodness. Good night, John Boy. Oh, I remember that. So I got them asking, you know, hey, what's the score of this game? What's the score of that game? You know, asking what the weather is, things like that. And they really seem to be taking to it. They seem to be using it in a way that I would guess that probably not a lot of folks do. I mean, most of us probably just use the remote, bring up what we want to do. But honestly, I think the biggest overlooked feature of that device is being able to use Siri to tell it to turn subtitles on or off, or tell it to go back 30 seconds because you didn't hear something. When I record stuff on the Plex DVR and watch it through Plex on the Apple TV, I still don't have the automatic commercial trimming going to where I'm happy with it. So I'll tell it, you know, I'll hold down the button and say, jump ahead 3 minutes, you know, and you jump to the end of the thing without having to scrub manually. So Siri really works well on that. And it's refreshing to see people use it and depend on it and have it not let them down most of the time. So that was kind of nice. My cousin got my aunt and uncle an Amazon Echo Dot. So I went over there and I volunteered to help set it up. And that was kind of cool, showing them all that it could do and enabling the Jeopardy skill. I don't know if you guys have done that on yours.
Yeah, I have. It's pretty fun.
I was sitting there playing it yesterday and I got a Simpsons question wrong, not because I didn't know the answer, but because I couldn't understand the way Echo pronounced the word Monty. I thought it said monkey. Which character is known as Monkey? And I'm like, what? So my first guess would have been Mo Sizlak, since, you know, he's the one that looks most like a monkey.
It's like, can I IMDb that in 3 seconds?
Well, I would have known Monty, you know, if I had understood it, I would have said, oh, Mr. Burns.
I'm just thinking, you know, what's the monkey? IMDb.
Pray for Mojo. Actually, Mojo was the monkey that was, well, I'm really going to well in the weeds there. Pray for Mojo.
Oh, yeah.
So that was kind of nice. My aunt has trouble projecting her voice. So I got home. I'm back at my parents' house and they call me up. Hey, it's not working. As soon as you left, it stopped working. I'm like, what? That doesn't seem likely. So I drive back over and it just turns out she can't speak highly enough for it to hear. So I moved it next to her recliner and my uncle can project his voice. So that works out okay.
My dad bought my stepmom an Echo. And to hear the story is pretty funny, because if you ask my dad what Amazon is, he would not know. He knew she wanted the thing you could ask questions to. That's all he knew. That's exactly what he said. I knew she wanted that thing you could talk to and ask questions because I didn't want her asking me stuff. That's exactly what he said. He went to a friend and they didn't know what he was talking about. And they were watching TV and the Echo commercial came on and he's like, that's it. That's exactly what I want. And he wrote it down and brought it to my sister, and he helped him get one before Christmas. And he got one for my stepmom, not knowing anything about it besides that thing you can talk to and ask questions to, so she wouldn't bug him.
That is hilarious. That's awesome. Wow. That should be the commercial.
Totally. It's like a husband, you know, you've been married for 30 years.
How do I talk to my wife less?
And your wife is bugging you about all this crap. I'm going to buy you an Echo. Go talk to it. Go ask it questions.
Though one would argue, was the Google Home better at that than the Echo is? But my cousin also got my aunt and uncle a music subscription through Amazon. So they got the unlimited, the equivalent of Spotify or Apple Music, but, you know, the Amazon version of that. So that was nice. So they can call up any song and listen to it. I think that's the use case they're going to have most often. Then I stopped by my other uncle's house, got his PC issues straightened out. Everything was great. You know, installed some old programs that he had, changed some things around. He runs Windows 10, does a lot of photography and photo editing. Well, as soon as I get back to Atlanta, I get a text message and it's like, is this bad? And he sends me a screenshot and he got hit with Russian ransomware. And I'm like, yeah, that's bad. You're pretty much done.
So did he lose a handful of photographs and stuff?
Well, I told him don't plug anything else in. Like, after I told him what it was and what he's going to have to reformat and reinstall, that he's pretty much done, it was like, okay, thanks. And then he just kind of went dark. I didn't hear from him after that. But I felt really bad for him. I know that can happen on any platform. But again, something with folks who are older and clicking on things that you get an email, I don't know what it is. I've taught my parents to fear everything that's in an attachment, anything that's, if you don't know what it is, just leave it alone and be paranoid. And that seems to suit them. But I felt really bad for him. So my advice was dump the PC, go get a Mac, or, you know, really go get an iPad Pro. If all you're doing is photography and light retouches and things like that, you can get Photoshop or something comparable.
That's right.
And do most of what you want on an iPad and then not have to mess with it.
My wife pretty much does everything she needs on her iPad.
Pixelmator on the iPad and iPhone is amazingly versatile. Like, you can do so much with that. And that's not even an expensive app.
So this will be sound like a weird recommendation coming from me, but you know, I know iPad is definitely our first recommendation, but you know, a Chromebook is not a bad idea for older folks that don't do a whole lot besides stuff they can do in a browser. That's really what my stepdad wants to get. And that was one tech thing I was supposed to do over the holidays, is go with him and help him pick one out. But we never got around to getting to Best Buy to do that.
I don't know. I'm of two minds on that. I mean, yeah, I don't disagree. If they can do most things in a browser, that's probably fine. But at the same time, I also look at something like, you look at a tablet, or even if you went with like an Android tablet, just going with a tablet in most cases. Like, I look at my parents. My dad will use my old iMac to play little video games in the browser, and that's about it. Like, most of the stuff they do on the web is on their iPads. I just like that idea a little bit better, because you still get apps and you're less likely to get hit with malware or something comparable. So you're not just limited to what runs in a browser or an emulated browser. Well, it's kind of funny. You know, we released a show, our last sort of on format show, mid-December. We talked about that, you know, we released it that Friday or Saturday. So the AirPods still aren't out yet. And of course, you know, by the time that we actually released it, they had been announced on a Wednesday morning. So being the good little Apple consumer I am, I jumped on it immediately. I was able to click on it and have them by release day. And I got to tell you, they are really good. They work as advertised. I've been very, very impressed. It's a very Apple-like product. Because of their size and because of the way that they're quick to charge, I find that I take them everywhere with me now. I don't always use them everywhere, but you know, if I go into the grocery store, I'll pop one in and, you know, push around the cart or whatever and shop and listen to podcasts. Or just having that ability to have that on me all the time is pretty nice. The range is really, really good. I don't know how they pull that trick off with so little electronics in that thing, but I can go more than 30 feet away. Like, I can leave my iPhone sitting in the middle of the house and go out and check the mail with the AirPods in, and I never lose connection between the middle of the house and the end of my driveway, which never would have happened with wireless earphones before. Those I can put in the wrong pocket, and they just seem to lose connectivity. So, you know, I honestly believe if these had come out day and date with the iPhone, that I don't think the lack of the headphone jack would have been a big deal. But between this and the Sonys that I have, I never want to go back to wired headphones again.
You know, that may have been ultimately what they were really shooting for. Like, we're going to release these new wireless earbuds, and we're going to have this new phone without the headphone jack, and just whatever production or whatever issues they had between release date one and release date two, it just didn't happen. And that's unfortunate for them, because it seems like it would, like you said, it would have lined up really well.
It is really nice. I mean, I've used this in a variety of situations. Now, we've all seen some issues with Bluetooth and the latest release of Sierra and on our Macs, and how it affects Bluetooth keyboards and Magic trackpads and the like. And the AirPods are no difference. I was on a conference call yesterday. My AirPods dropped out, and I had to reconnect them before it was my turn to talk, which was kind of annoying. But otherwise, the pairing process has been really, really simple. And it's the most Apple-like thing that I've seen. Now, I have used them with my Apple TV. What's weird there is that, you know, you have to go into your Bluetooth devices and settings and like manually select them, kind of like you do on the Mac, which is really weird. Why don't they? That seems like a use case that would have been perfect for pop the case open and, hey, bond it with these and have it not be a big deal. But so far, they've mostly worked as advertised. I've watched a lot of movies and TV on the iPad with it, and watching things on the Apple TV. I haven't had that Bluetooth lag that normally happens. You know how, like, when you're watching something and the audio will be...
It'll be like a second off.
Yeah, there's usually, in my experience, between 0.4 and half a second off, it'll usually be, so that the lips and the talking doesn't line up. But I haven't had that happen. So it's nice if, you know, I get up early in the morning, I go to the living room. We have a really open floor plan. If I'm watching TV, I can't watch at normal volume because my wife will hear it. So I can pop in the AirPods, bond them to the Apple TV in the living room, and sit there and watch TV, no problem. Or, you know, if I'm cooking at night and she gets off work and she wants to call me, I can have a hands-free conversation that's just perfect. So...
And not have to really mute the television because it just takes over.
Right. So it's been good. I've been very, very pleased with these. And I realize I have the really nice Sonys for when I fly or I need total noise deprivation. I have my wireless JLab 2 for when I work out, and these. And I'm pretty much ready to throw wired earphones away. I don't see myself using them anymore. Except for the podcast, of course, recording the podcast. What about you guys? Thoughts?
So you're on the one percenter headphone club now as well, because you've got like three different headphones. I will say
you can't talk, Jim. You've always had about eight pairs.
I was about to say only having three would be a step down for you.
I know. First off, damn you, because up until this moment, I have not wanted those AirPods. I was fine with my Sonys. I love them. They're great for everything I've needed. But just hearing you say, I have them with me all the time and I can just pop one in and listen to a podcast. That use case right there is the most amazing thing I think about the AirPods. Because I love my Sonys, but I'm not going to carry these bulky big headphones everywhere I go. They go with me when I travel. You know, I don't even really like walking around downtown with them on because I feel kind of odd walking around with these big headphones on downtown.
You get an aluminum bat to the back of your head.
Right. And so just that one use case where you just said, I'm walking through the supermarket with one in listening to a podcast. That's just that. I love that. That sounds great. So two questions for you. How are they on conference calls? Are they good for work calls besides the one drop you had? Have you had any issues with the microphone or anything like that? People hearing you, you hearing people. And also, how good is the switching if I pair it with my phone and my iPad and my Mac? Is it good about switching devices, or do you have to like turn off Bluetooth on one device to get it to connect to another?
So these are great questions. So the first, I talk to my wife probably more than anyone else on the phone, simply because she calls me on the way home every day. And she's usually the first to complain if she can't hear me. Like, I can hold my iPhone 7 Plus and it's so big, even though I have a big head, it's so big that it's away from my mouth that if I'm not holding it just right, I can't.
How big is it?
It's so big that she can't hear me when I talk if I'm not sitting at the proper angle. So she's one that will let me know if it doesn't sound clear. And strangely enough, my Apple Watch, I've never had a problem in talking to her where she says, I can't hear you. I have more problems with a phone having that happen than I ever had with the watch. So far, not a single word about the AirPods. I asked my coworkers when I was on the phone yesterday before the call started, like, hey, can everybody hear me? Yeah, you sound fine. They're like, are you on the podcasting setup that you have or whatever, or the studio or whatever they said they heard. So it didn't seem to be a call quality problem there. So it seems to be pretty good. And you don't have to have both in. I've seen people online who will, if you're worried about battery life, which they seem to last a long time and they recharge very, very quickly. If you're in the middle of a call and you think the battery's going to die, if you're on one that long, take one out, put it in the case and charge it. And then when it reaches sufficient quality, pull it out, put it in that ear, take the other one out and charge it independently. And you could keep that thing going for as long as you want. That was a clever little hack that I ran across. But in answer to your question about, what was the other question you had? It was
switching. For switching between devices.
Ah, the switching. That was the part where it really, really shines, is you don't have any issues with this. So when you flip it open for the first time, let's say you're in front of your phone, you get the little pop-up that happens on your screen that says, hey, here's my AirPods. And it automatically registers with any device that you're signed into via iCloud.
Cool.
Very cool.
So that's how they handle sort of the pairing. But to give you an example, normally I'm using it with my iPhone, but last night I pull out the iPad before I go to bed. I want to watch some TV. And I put them in and I hear bloom with the phone. All I did was on my iPad, I press the button, go into the control center and select the audio device just like you would with AirPlay and just say AirPods, and boom, it was immediate. So you don't have to turn Bluetooth off on another thing. It'll seamlessly switch between devices. There is a button that's almost, if I had them, I don't have them on me right now, they're upstairs, but there's a very subtle button on the back that you can barely see of the case. And if you want to bond Bluetooth with a non-Apple device, it works just fine. But that's the biggest problem that I've had with the Sonys, even though I love the Sonys. They're the greatest headphones ever. You can pair them to multiple devices, but it seems to be a pain, as you've discovered. I remember on one of our past episodes, you talked about that, Jim, when you're on a plane where you had to pull your iPad out and pair it with that and then repair, you know, make sure it's turned off so that you can connect to the phone. None of that with these. So that's what makes it.
Yeah. So with the Sonys, technically there are two types of connections. There's a regular connection and then there's the A2DP, and it'll do both, but you always want the A2DP I think I got that right. A2DP. You always want that connection with whatever you're listening to. So yeah, I mean, and that was a problem I had where, you know, my phone happened to be on airplane mode and I pulled them out on the plane, turned them on. My iPad from my bag picked them up, but I actually wanted to listen from my phone. So I had to get my iPad out, turn off Bluetooth, turn on Bluetooth on the phone so it would recognize that it would connect. You know, it's obviously a first world problem for sure, but that's that kind of thing is exactly why you stay inside the ecosystem with Apple making their own Bluetooth headphones for the, you know, universal connections like that. Is that's Yeah, that's a really good feature that I think most people wouldn't think about that, but we all own so many devices and we want it to work with everything. I would have never thought to pair it with my Apple TV, like you were saying, and that's pretty neat as well. So yeah, now you've got me wanting to look if they're in stock. So I hate you.
They're getting shipments every day at your Apple store, so you won't have to wait the full 6 weeks probably. But yeah, it's been really good. And I knew that we were going to have this show. I wanted to be able to talk, since we built them up so much, I wanted to put them through their paces and see if they lived up to the hype. To give you an example, yesterday, you know, when I did the con call, it was the first time that I'd paired to my work MacBook Pro. So they're on my phone. I just go up to the little Bluetooth icon in macOS, select AirPods, hit connect, just like you would a keyboard or a Magic Trackpad, and boom, it's instantly connected. Then when I'm done, disconnect, and it's good. Or you can just put them back in the case, walk away, take your phone with you, and then the next time you connect, it'll automatically go back to the phone. This is one of those things where it's a very Apple-like design. This is how it's supposed to work. This is how Bluetooth should be working. But I see people, there have been some complaints about the charger rapidly depleting. I have not had this issue. I always have lightning cables that are plugged into a power source somewhere around me pretty close. So it's never usually an issue for me anyway, but I haven't had that issue. And I noticed yesterday that someone has written an app.
It has its own built-in tile feature.
That uses the sort of the Bluetooth ping functionality to be able to detect where an AirPod is in case you lose it. So it'll make it be like, you're getting warmer. You know, it'll point you in the general direction of where it might be. So that's...
And I saw a post very late last night on Reddit when I couldn't sleep that app has been pulled from the App Store, that Apple did not like them using that functionality.
What?
I saw it. The guy posted something to Reddit and said, here's the link if you want to get a refund. They pulled it. It'll still work, but you won't be getting any more features out of it. But yeah, Apple pulled it.
Man, I really should have bought that when I saw it. I thought it was a cute idea. I cannot see. This is something stupid that Apple does. This is sour grapes about we should have invented that feature first, or we should have put a finder mechanism in it, like Find My iPhone or something that makes it ping so you can hear it. But that is.
And that was the exact comment on Reddit. It was, the phone has that built in Find My iPhone, then, you know, what's the problem with having something that does it for these? If it should have been built in, it wasn't. So somebody came in and filled that void. That's perfect. And, you know, of course, then it's Reddit, then it goes straight down to Apple's evil from there, because they want you to lose them and have to go buy more, you know. But just it was probably midnight last night or later, and I just was laying there, you know, like I do, and I remember seeing that story, and I wanted to mention it to you to see if you'd even heard of that.
Yeah, I had stuck it in the show notes when I saw it yesterday, and that really bums me out that they did that. That there are some things that you see that are a clear sort of violation of what they want you to do in the App Store. When somebody sneaks a Super Nintendo emulator inside of a flashlight app, that I kind of get, right? That they would have a problem with that. But this is something that is using public APIs. It's pinging something and just saying it may be in this direction. It's rare that I out and out badmouth Apple, but that's ridiculous. That is just straight up ridiculous.
You know, if you're talking about pairing your iPod, I'm kind of surprised you don't take the little AirPod case and set it on top of your Apple TV and it does its thing, kind of like the phone in reverse did with the setting up your Apple TV for the first time.
Well, for the Apple TV, you're signing into iCloud and you're setting up the Wi-Fi, both of which you don't have to really do on these. Like the first time you open them and you're in the proximity of a logged in device, I think it just kind of knows. That's I think what the process was for me. So there's not even that level of configuration to it. It is worth noting too, when I set up my parents' Apple TV, I did that as well. Just set my phone, or set their phone actually, on top of the Apple TV, so it would get their Wi-Fi password and their login credentials. It still blows me away. That's another thing that's like, this was long overdue. I wish they had done that years earlier. But I know people are saying, hey, they're easy to lose. In my experience, they have not been. They haven't come out of my ears once. I hear a lot of people that when they're going to put them in the case or pull them out, that's when they are most prone to lose them. I can kind of see that. There's a magnetic catch in the case, so when you go to sit them in there, it will automatically grab a hold of it and pull it down. If you pinch up on it between the middle and the outside, you probably will. I can't see you dropping these things very easily. I will say the worst part of this, I was at work the other day, and instead of using my Sony's, well, let me back up. So the biggest problem with both this and the Sony's is, how ridiculous do you want to look when you're wearing these things? So if you've ever looked in the marketing materials for the Sony, how they have the guy in the suit and he's just standing around like with a Superman pose, and he has the Sony's on, and he just looks stupid. He just looks ridiculous.
That's actually what I do with my Aftershocks.
Like, hey, you can just wear these around town. It's like, you look like a D-bag. Take those headphones off when you're just walking around. It looks bad. However,
exactly to my point about I don't want to walk around town with these big cans on my ears.
You got to cut that out, buddy.
See, that's the way I feel when I'm in the airport. Like, I used to put them around my neck or just sort, you know, and just have them sitting there until I got on the plane. I hate that. I hate when I see other people do it, and I hate to be the guy who does it. So now I leave them in the bag until I get on the plane.
No, I do that. I put them on in the airport, and I wear them through the airport. The airport is like a safe space for headphones. You're definitely allowed. So one point about the finding the AirPods and the Find My iPhone and things, I don't know if either of y'all have used Tiles before, you know, the little bitty Bluetooth finder devices. So I had one for a while.
I use them here at the house.
And I swapped it in for the new model earlier this year, and I really liked it. And so they went on sale around Black Friday, so I ordered a 4-pack. I've got one on my keys now. I've got one in my laptop bag. I've got one hidden on my bicycle. It just got me thinking of how small that thing is to where Apple should just buy them straight up and use that technology in every single thing they make. I want one in my laptop. I want one in my phone. It should just be there. Just that whole just low level. If it has a battery in it and it lasts that long, I mean, yeah, I agree. It is kind of, you know, security conscious. If you don't want it turned on, then don't turn it on. But I would love to have one of those things built into my laptop. That would be great.
Agreed. Have something that's sort of a hardware version of Find My iPhone. No, totally. The thing with the AirPods and looking ridiculous though. The other day I was at work and I had them in instead of the Sony's. I didn't need the noise canceling. The office wasn't too loud. And my boss comes back there to talk to me for a minute, and I stand up to talk to him, and he's like, "For a minute there, I thought you had earrings on." I was like, no. These are just normal earbuds that you would normally see minus a cable. I don't know what it is about the cable that makes them look normal, and that was an unexpected comment for sure. So since it's the first week of 2017, we didn't really talk about how the previous year sort of wrapped up technology wise. So real quick, let's go around the table and talk about what tech was your favorite tech of 2016. What was the big loser? And you know, just to be fair, we're gonna leave the Galaxy Note 7 off the list because that clearly was such a big loser. We had a lot of fun with it over the last 20 episodes or so, but time to let that one go. And while you guys are thinking about that, I'm going to start first. I think the big winner would be my favorite tech would be the AirPods, actually. They have, even though they only came out in technically the last 10 days of the year, they really are an Apple-like product. They work, they're simple, they do one thing, they do it really well, and they took an existing product category and they made it their own. Kind of like the iPod did with the music player. I think, again, I really sincerely believe if these had come out the same day as the iPhone 7, we wouldn't have seen as much of the headphone gate. And I can't wait for other manufacturers to totally rip off this design and do the same thing. And I would say that the big loser for 2016, based on talking to you guys, is simply the MacBook Pro. The new MacBook Pro has been so not Apple quality, just from what I've read online, from what I've seen with you guys. That thing to make people have waited as long as they did and have those types of quality problems, it's just been a mess. So we'll start with you, Brad. What was your big winner of technology of 2016, and what was the big loser?
I think the big winner was my Amazon Echo, really. I mean, I know it came out before 2016, but yeah, I bought one this year or last year, really. But it hasn't made some major change in my life, but it really has made things a little easier around the kitchen and around at least the front of the house. I mean, I've even got my wife to where she'll say, AI, please set a timer or something like that, you know, and she's really latched on to the hands-free part of it. And I know if we had Apple Watches, there would be the same sort of hands-free utility there too, but it's just been really nice to have. And she's been able to have it read back recipes or whatever, you know, while we're in the kitchen. I think my loser is my MacBook. You're right on the wait. I mean, I probably, you know, I waited about 12 hours to order mine after Jim did. And I guess I had to wait for it about 5 to 6 weeks to arrive. And I've not had any major problems with it. But I think the problems that I am having with it are either Sierra related, or maybe it's a driver relation to that version of that, you know, a certain release of Sierra or something. But I've had the dock and the finder lock up a couple of times, and I've now on my third reload of Sierra trying to find out what it is I'm installing on it to create this problem, if I'm creating it myself or it's actually something buried down deep in the code. Also, my other concern has been the battery. I've got the Clean My Mac icon running up there in the menu bar, and it'll give you the time left on your battery, whereas, you know, Apple removed that from Sierra, and I guess they did that whenever they released the new MacBook in an effort to sort of hide the fact that they're having problems with the batteries. I'm not sure, but I'm supposed to be getting, 7-8 hours at least out of this MacBook, and they even under sort of fairly medium use, and that's not happening. I mean, I'm probably getting 3 to 4 out of it. And that's just really unacceptable for a laptop that they've touted as having as much battery life as it should. And I was always impressed with my wife's MacBook Air when she got hers, because I mean, I've seen hers go for 12, 13 hours of her hacking on Citrix, typing in notes into her electronic medical record system. Not that she sits there for 13 hours straight, but I mean, I've seen it where she leaves it on the ottoman and it's just left open with the screen on, it doesn't go, she doesn't let it go to sleep.
Before I left my previous employer, I had a MacBook Air for the last year that I was there, and I could unplug after about the first 15 minutes of the workday and go the entire workday not plugged in. Now, of course, I would sleep if I went to lunch or something like that. I mean, I would be conservative with it, but I could go the entire day without being on a battery, something I could never do on the equivalent Dell tank-sized laptop that I had. So I'm right there with you. It used to, my MacBook Pro now, that's mid-2014, I think, will go probably 4 or 5 hours if I turn the screen brightness to halfway. I mean, it's even a couple years in, it's still a pretty good workhorse. So that's truly disappointing. Jim, what about you? Best winner tech and loser tech of 2016?
So just to continue the topic, I'll go ahead and start with the loser tech is definitely the MacBook Pro. I think we've got a bingo straight down the middle row there. If you haven't caught up on the podcast, I ordered the new MacBook Pro within, I'd say, 30 minutes of when they were available online. I mean, I watched the end of the keynote and I refreshed the webpage until I could buy the new MacBook Pro. I'd been waiting most of the summer. I received it before Thanksgiving, had problems with it. Then the U, like as in umbrella key, stuck. I brought it to the Apple store. They were like, we really can't do anything for you now. We don't have replacement keycaps. It might be, a couple of weeks before we do. We don't have anything to fix it. So I took it back home. I kept it for a couple of more days. And I started having other problems with it. And so I returned it. I returned it. Technically, it was not supposed to be on the holiday return list, like eligible, but because I was a little bit out of the return period, but they took it back considering all the problems I'd had. I preemptively had ordered a new one about 4 days before I took it back, just knowing that it would take another month to get a new one. So that one came in over the holidays while I was gone. So I got it when I returned from vacation on the 28th. So I've had the new one since December 28th. The majority of problem I've had with this one is definitely with the Bluetooth. My Apple keyboard randomly disconnects. My mouse randomly disconnects. Having not even considered it, you mentioned this week, yeah, I've been having problems too, and I just plugged everything in. So I plugged a USB-C hub, and I'm not even going to go into how many dongles I've bought for this thing. So I bought, I got this little hub where I've got the back keyboard and my mouse plugged into it, so I can use the laptop plugged into my external monitor, which is also plugged into a dongle. So that's been a problem. My battery life has been good. I haven't noticed many issues with my battery life being a problem. One of the issues that I saw with the last one with the system UI locking up, I have not seen with this one until right now. The clock on my laptop as we sit here recording says 10:15 a.m. What time does your clock say, Brian?
Mine would be 11:05 your time right now.
Yeah. So my system UI has been locked up since 10:15 a.m. since we got on this morning to prep for
beach ball
for podcasting. If I hover over the clock and the battery, I get the rainbow beach ball. It's just locked up. It's a system UI thing. I've seen other people report it. It's something that you can, you can kill a process and it'll restart and it comes back. But it's something that I was seeing with the one I returned, and this is the first time I've seen it with this one. So I don't know what I've plugged in or what I've done to trigger that this morning, but it's definitely something that
this is really unacceptable.
Yeah. So the keyboard this time has been fine. I'm adjusting to it again. It was a tough adjustment when I first got the last one. I definitely don't like it as much as the keyboard from the previous MacBook Pro that I had, but I'm adjusting to it. I don't like that the escape key is on the touch bar because you don't have to press it down. And if you just randomly rub your hand across the escape key, it picks it up. And I, five times a week, I'm doing something and I just have my left hand sitting on the keyboard and I try to open up a window and it minimizes. And I try to open up a window and it minimizes. And then I realize my finger is just sitting on the escape key. And so it's opening and closing, opening and closing. So that's been a problem for me. I would prefer if they ran some sort of update to where they, if they could move the escape key an inch to the right, just so it's not right there on the edge. I know that's where it's always been, but I guess that's, for me, that's just where my hand sits. That's just my normal. If I'm sitting there working, my hand sitting on the keyboard, it's brushing that escape key. And it happens to me a couple of times a week, and there's nothing I can really do about it. The other issue, I'm sorry, I'm rambling here. I'm just pissed.
Well, if Apple engineers hear you say this, I need you to not move the escape key because it's right where it needs to be. I use VI a lot, and I need to hit escape a lot. Any VI user knows that.
Nerds. So anyway, my last gripe is with Siri. You try to turn it off. You disable it. And somehow I disable the key combination. I disable all these things. It still pops up and it's like, would you like to enable Siri? Would you like to enable Siri? No, I don't want to enable Siri. I have it on my phone. I have it on my iPad. I don't need it on my Mac. And I have found no way to stop it from prompting me to enable Siri when I don't want it enabled.
Let me ask you about that real quick. So what's the deal? What's the problem with Siri on the Mac since it's not always listening like it does on the iOS devices? What's the big problem with having it enabled?
It keeps prompting me. It thinks I don't know what combination I'm hitting or what I'm doing, but it kept prompting me of like, I want to, you know, do you want to enable it? Do you want to ask me a question? And I don't understand what I'm doing.
And you said you killed the soft key, right?
Yeah, I disabled the soft key this week, and maybe it's been better since then. It's like, was it Control space was the default, I think, or Option space, one of those.
It's Command and you hold down the space key.
Maybe that was it. Maybe I was triggering somehow, you know, in my normal typing, because I'm in Parallels a lot. So my key combinations are a little weird because I'm doing stuff in Windows. And so the Command key is the Windows key there. And so I actually, you know, I do hold it down and do different things. So that's been an annoyance.
I think it's just an extension of trying to do it like Spotlight, because, you know, Command space is Spotlight, Command hold space is Siri.
Right. That's one of the first things I do is disable that for Spotlight, and I use Alfred for that, which is pretty much the same thing.
I use Spotlight constantly. If there's no F4 key that turns on Launchpad, you know, on a little bit older laptop, I always hit Command space. And I'm not sure if you can remotely send your, not expose, the Launchpad key over like remote desktop, or, you know, if you're using remote desktop for from Mac to Mac, but command space always works.
For me, it does. I use Alfred on everything. And I set it to Command space and disable it for Spotlight. And I mean, it's pretty much the same thing as Spotlight, just maybe a little more powerful in some ways. Maybe there's some things that it can't do, but I'm not aware of it. So that's it for me on the MacBook. I mean, it's a beautiful machine. If, you know, somebody, the first time they see it, they're like, oh, that's, you know, it's such a you know, great looking laptop. They're always like, oh, the touch bar. And I'm like, yeah, I really don't use it that much. But yeah, hopefully they can get these things worked out.
Jim's like, I really like that. It's worthless.
You know, if for $3,500, it should definitely work better. Let's put it that way.
Agreed.
As far as my best tech of the year, I would say that the Sonys, but I mean, they're not like a leap and bound ahead of the Bose that I had before. They're wireless. The wireless works good. I think the one thing that's really changed the way I do a lot of things this year is the proliferation of external batteries and how small they've gotten, but how powerful they are. I can have a battery that I keep in my backpack bag. I had one that was 20,000 milliamperes. I don't have to charge it all week if I don't even think about it, but I can still use it all week while I'm at work. I can use it on the plane. I mean, it's always there. And then I've got a smaller one that if I know I'm going to be out for a longer period for one day, I can throw it in my pocket. And I never have a problem with running out of battery on my phone, because between the phone and that smaller battery, you know, I can make it through any one day, no matter what I'm doing. Over Christmas, I bought a new one when it went on sale that's a $30,000 that's also got USB-C ports on it so I can fast charge my iPad with it.
I guess you could run your MacBook off of it too now, right?
You know, it'll charge and discharge via that USB-C port. It doesn't have a high enough draw for the MacBook. I did try that, and the MacBook won't detect it as charging. So I don't know if there's something in the power block from the MacBook that does that. But that was the first thing I tried to see if I could use it as an external battery for my MacBook as well. But just
they do make those, by the way. You can get those.
And so, I mean, I think that's, to me, that's been the thing that's really changed how I gadget, is, if you will, this year. You know, how I, my everyday carry, kind of what's really changed me is, you know, these batteries by Anker and Aukey, I think that's how you say it. You know, those are the two brands that I generally stick with. They look nice. They're small comparatively. I mean, you know, 30,000 milliamperes, that's like charging my iPhone, what, 20 times, 10 times? I mean, it's crazy. Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest thing for me is, and it also the thing that upsets me that Apple won't make the iPhone just 20% thicker to give us a whole nother day, because 20% thicker on the iPhone currently would probably give you a whole nother day's worth of battery life, 2 days instead of one, which I think would be great.
It's just one of those trade-offs that people aren't going to go for. You know, I mean, it doesn't seem like much more, but it really would kind of make the phone a little clunkier. Especially if you don't use it with a case, you know, it's going to be constantly slipping out of your hand or off your leg if you're sitting, you know, waiting for something, you know, if you're bouncing your leg or whatever.
I will, I'll back you up on the whole battery thing. So I have the Anker 26,800 milliamp hour battery, and I use it all the time when I travel. I travel like a technical Boy Scout. I always have it charged if I'm going on a trip. It's in my backpack. So if I ever end up in a situation where my phone is dead and there's no outlet nearby, or my iPad is dead, I have a way to charge it back, or at least get it usable so I can use it for a while. Just today, my wife had to brave the icy Atlanta roads to go to work. And, you know, I gave her a spare charger and lightning cable, but I also put a fully charged, that same Anker battery, in her go bag so that if she found herself in a situation, let's say her store loses power and she doesn't have access to, you know, she needs to use her phone and her phone's dead for whatever reason. Shouldn't be. We just had AppleCare replace the battery 2 weeks ago. But she has the ability to use it. So those batteries are a lifesaver. So I definitely agree with you on that.
My wife keeps one in her purse. It's about the size of a tube of lipstick, which I guess this sounds sexist. But, you know, if a woman can keep stuff like that in her purse, you know, she's going to try to keep maybe a couple of cards and her ID and a lipstick, you know, because they're always touching that up if they're going to go in the store or whatever. You know, another thing to keep on hand would be one of those little battery packs, just because they're that small, just for those use cases where you just might need it, you know, and it's light enough that it's not going to hinder you from carrying around your little clutch purse or whatever it is you might be carrying, be it small or a large purse or a man bag.
They lease those in the airport too. I've seen they have the little kiosks that are like a power rod or something they're called, and you can rent one at one airport and turn it at another, I think.
I gave my mom, I've got those things laying all about the place here, so I don't have to worry about plugging in chargers into the wall. I just, you know, I'll have a battery sitting on a coffee table. And so when I bought this big new 30 one that went on sale over the holidays, my mom was here visiting me over Christmas, and she kept using an older Anker 10 that I had. And when she went back to Mississippi, I just let her take it because she just thought that was the neatest thing, that she could, anywhere she was, she could just plug into this little thing, and it was small enough for her to keep in her purse. And, you know, I told her, I mean, you got to charge it, you know, and she was aware of that. But, you know, just the fact that she could have this thing and be anywhere and be able to plug in like that, she, you know, she didn't realize that things that small with that much power in them existed. So she was real happy with that secondhand gift there.
I just realized I had a spare 20,000 milliamp hour battery in addition to the 26,800. So, and I haven't charged this thing in probably a year and still fully charged.
I think that's the same one, Brian. Same one, yep. Probably. That's the 20,000 that I've been using, and now I've got that new big.
Now that you have the 30, I need to go out and buy that one, so I'll have a 20, a 26, and a 30. I can basically just live off the grid permanently then.
Can you chain them and crank your car or anything like that?
Oh, that'd be awesome. They do all have a flashlight built in too. Did you know that?
Yeah, so there was one that went on sale over the holidays for like $450 that Anker makes. It's almost like a generator for your house, where it's a $450 external battery where you could plug all sorts of stuff in it. And man, I wanted that one, and I was just like, no, don't do it. You know, it literally is like a generator for your gadgets if the power should go out.
Has like the big twist plug.
Oh, that
on
would
it.
Be funny. Remember the bank of batteries at NetDoor like 25 years ago that ran in the big server complex to back up everything? It was like a whole wall of the server room was nothing but like car batteries. They weren't car batteries, but they were like car batteries, just a whole wall full of them. That was crazy.
Yeah, it was nuts.
That was probably like 30,000 milliamperes. I don't know.
That's old school UPS tech there where you needed, you know, large scale UPS. You could go into any server room 15, 20 years ago, and that's what their UPS would be if they needed a whole room worth of battery.
So speaking of loser technology, there was an article by Chuck von Rossbach this week, and he had a list of areas where he felt that Apple has fallen down. And there's a lot of great stuff on the list. And, you know, we'll just briefly sort of recap. One of the things that he talked about was that, you know, Apple can't seem to meet demand on new items like the Apple Pencil in 2015 and the iPad Pro keyboard case. Both of those were in short supply all through last holiday season. This year, it's been the unexpected demand for the iPhone SE and the AirPods. Both of those were hard to acquire items. They've been
on the AirPods. I did look up that earlier in the podcast for availability in stores right now. The AirPods for all five or six stores in Dallas show February 28th, over a month and a half.
Maybe I'll check Atlanta for you and see if we can run across them out here. If the stores are actually open during the snowpocalypse. But they've also been letting things rot on the vine, like with the airport, right? They perfectly good Wi-Fi device, but not keeping up with technology. And why are they still selling it at that inflated price when it isn't even feature-wise comparable to anything on the market? Letting things rot before booting them out. So keeping around the old monitors that they had for the longest time before finally just saying, hey, LG, take this on for us. The length of time for the product refreshes, I think everybody, you know, has a problem with that. MacBook Pro, the Mac Pro itself. Mac Pro hasn't been updated since 2013, and yet they're still selling it for the same price they were back in 2013, which is, that doesn't happen in the computer business, right? Things have been out for 3 years. You shouldn't be paying the same price. But again, they're doing it, so it doesn't make any sense. And I guess the main argument he had that they were shooting for the largest segment of the population while neglecting the least profitable, aka the power users, despite the fact those are the most ardent supporters. Of course, you know, we mentioned something today, things like macOS and iOS. We were talking this week, I know, over Telegram, that one of the things that's surprising to us is whenever there's a new release of any of the OSs, you see a flurry of people who will report problems with Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and those types of things. And it's like they make the hardware and the software, right? If they were having to be like Microsoft and support disparate hardware, that'd be one thing. But how do you get low-level connectivity? Because we've all had Bluetooth issues. My keyboard and my Magic Trackpad randomly disconnect a lot under Sierra. And I know you guys have seen similar with your Bluetooth devices. I've had to hardwire my keyboard and my Magic Trackpad like this right now to make them usable. And it's been nuts. Having that lack of quality where they don't have, you know, if you don't have HomeKit on Siri on the Mac. So if I invoke Siri on the Mac and I tell it to turn off my office light, it's like, I'm sorry, I can't do that, right? Why? You have it on the phone, the watch can do it, the iPad can do it, but the TV and the Mac can't. That seems crazy to me. Another example he mentioned, there was no remote app on the iPad, right? You have the remote app. It's actually a pretty decent remote app on the iPhone. And sure, you can install the iPhone on the iPad, but it's not a universal app for something so basic. It just seems weird that no one can seem to figure out what's going on with Apple in this regard. It just seems like a weird quality issue.
Well, it makes me think about the old, you know, Sun before Oracle took them over. You know, you had basically two camps for Sun. You had PC, you know, PC hardware, and you had the Sun hardware. And the folks that bought the Sun hardware had no issues. You know, it was always, you know, your Lance driver always worked for your Ethernet. And, you know, you would have to have specific hardware, you know, and your PCs for the stuff to work.
Boy, howdy, do I remember Solaris x86. Wow, we're being really nerdy now, Brad, because no one will identify with this. But yes, I not only that, when you used to study for the Sun certification exams, all of the things with the EEPROM, if you were a Solaris x86 guy like me, none of that stuff was applicable. You couldn't
stop
use
A.
Any of it. Exactly. You couldn't do any of that stuff. So no, I hear you. It feels like it's a second-class citizen. But at least in that case, Sun didn't make x86 hardware. It was kind of a sort of an afterthought. This is what's really weird is you have all of these people. Organizationally, they're not split up like a normal company. You don't have like a complete set.
They don't have verticals like a tech company would. They're more
right.
They're broken up functionally.
Yeah.
There's been a couple of posts about that. And in the article that you're talking about now, I actually read earlier this week. And yeah, I mean, that guy's got some really good points. They're just, it's like, you know, how the old saying, nobody goes there, it's too crowded. Well, now it's like, Apple stuff is so good, it doesn't work anymore. It's like so many people, it's like they've gotten so big so fast and they've tried to add things. Which version of Mac OS was it? It was 3 or 4 versions ago at least, where it was like, we're not adding any new features. We're just fixing things and gutting out the cruft and making it better. And they took a lot of crap for that, but it really was good.
That was Snow Leopard. That was my first real introduction into OS X back in the day. And
that was the shift from their first shift from PowerPC over to Intel.
Yeah, from Tiger. And it was a great release. I mean, it was the most rock solid version of Mac OS I've ever used.
Right. So they went from Leopard to Snow Leopard, and it was we're not adding any new big features, but we're going to make this all run a lot better. We need that across the board for iOS, for iPhone and iPad, for Mac, you know, just the stuff that you've put a lot of great things into your products. I mean, unlocking my laptop with my watch is an amazing thing. And people have even like seen me sit down at my desk and it just work. And they're just like, oh, Jim, that's nerdy and so cool. Cause it just is. But when it works 6 days a week, and then on that seventh day, when you sit down and for some reason that whole day, it just doesn't work. Your phone is unlocked, your watch is unlocked. You don't know why it doesn't work that day. And you don't know why it starts working again. That's just really frustrating. And again, I mean, it's all these new features they've added to this stuff that's not working. Well, except for Bluetooth. There's no excuse for Bluetooth. And I tweeted this yesterday. If you're going to put 4 new type ports and nothing else on your laptop to where you're not supposed to have to plug things in, but if you are, you know, most likely you've got to have an extra cable or two to do it, then the wireless really needs to work. I mean, it'd be just like when they took the headphone jack off the iPhone, and then sometimes the Lightning port just doesn't work for corded iPhones. I mean, the Bluetooth has got to work if you're going to take away the headphone jack. The same thing on the laptop. The Bluetooth has got to work if you're going to, you know, expect me not to have a bunch of stuff plugged into this thing without a hassle.
Well, you take off the USB and you take off the USB port and you can't plug the transceiver from your mouse in because your regular Bluetooth mouse went haywire. So you need one with a transceiver, and now you can't do that. You got to have a dongle to hook up your transceiver.
Yeah. I mean, so it just, that's... There's just no excuse for the Bluetooth thing. Some of the other stuff, it's software related, and I think it's things they can fix. But I this is a broken record, but they need to get the stuff that's in there working. WhizBang is maybe, you know, keeping the stock price up, but damn, it's just, can we get some of this fixed, please?
If they're doubling down on Bluetooth like they've been doing, I totally agree. And that's one of the, you know, I'll even add to that, to the frustration. For the entire time since Handoff was introduced, my ability to take calls, and I've mentioned this before, on my Mac from my phone is haphazard at best. It doesn't matter if it was a 2009 iMac. It doesn't matter if it's a 2015 iMac. It doesn't matter if it's a 2014 MacBook Pro. It half the time doesn't work properly. And I'll look at my phone and I see the little Bluetooth icon flashing like it's trying to bond, and then it just doesn't. So, and there's no way you can troubleshoot it. That's the other thing. I took it to the Apple store and they're like, "Duh, there's nothing we can do. Reinstall, see if that works. I don't know. It's probably hardware then." So it's not like they're delving into log files and looking at this stuff. It truly has become magic, right? Tell me where I can go and look and help you figure this out. And no one seems to have any,
you know, I'll download a new file. It goes into my downloads folder. I've got the little icon on the end of the dock that, you know, opens the little grid for everything in your downloads folder. And that's been one of the problems I've had was with the dock and Finder locking up, you know, and I can easily, like I was talking about, hit Command Space or hit F4 and open a terminal quickly enough and type kill all dock or kill all Finder. But that's just one more step you shouldn't have to do. I mean, the Finder has been around since before, you know, OS X, and then the dock has been around ever since we had OS X. I mean, these are things that shouldn't break with every, you know, and I realize we're in the 12th major release of OS X, but that's something that shouldn't break.
Totally, totally agree. It's this low-level stuff that needs to work better. Though I must say that some of the technology has improved in stability. Handoff, when it comes to, was it Handoff or is it, I'm sorry, AirDrop. AirDrop seems to work for me a lot better than it ever has before. I can move things around a lot better than it used to. So, you know, I guess I got to take a win where it happens. But
things do seem to appear faster in AirDrop than they did in previous OS X releases. But I'd rather have my dock or Finder work over AirDrop.
Yeah, FYI, it's still 10:15 Central Time here.
So. Isn't that fantastic?
According to my laptop.
Jim is the new Marty McFly. It's 1958. 1955.
I'll edit that out.
So yeah, so the in stock for those AirPods is like February 28th everywhere. So obviously they're selling them like hotcakes, which, you know, it's good for Apple, but I don't know.
Just like with the iPhone, it was hard availability for a while.
Please don't take all of our complaining for this episode as thinking that there were all three Apple haters. I don't think any of us is bad as things are, and as much as we complain, none of us would trade out for the alternative. I think we all three hold them to a high standard because we've come to expect a high standard, and I think it's justified that you know, we should expect that. So,
and we could have linked to, first of all, I totally agree with you, and there's not really anywhere to go that's going to give you the same sort of total integrated experience. That's the thing, right? There is no, it's not like, hey, you can go over here and get this even better. So yeah, I mean, that's really the reality of it. But not just that, where would you go, honestly, right? You can move to a Microsoft-like platform for Windows, but what about from a wearable perspective? You know, are you going to go get a Samsung watch and a Android tablet and Android phone, but what are you going to do for a computer? Do you really want to use a Chromebook? You know what I mean? There's no vendor that I can think of right now that does everything that Apple is even attempting to do from that perspective. And as someone who's routinely, like, you know, controlling my lights and using my computer and using my phone and my tablet in the way that I do, there is no single vendor that you could even go to, as far as I know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, the watch, the tablet, the phone, the computer, you know, they've got the whole vertical. And for the most part, they all work together well, you know, except that the phone you buy now, out of the box, you can't plug into the new MacBook. And the iPad you buy now, you can't plug into the new MacBook right out of the box, you know, and some of the Bluetooth stuff is not working. I mean, there's just these little things that maybe we're just at a kind of a crossroads time. These things will work themselves out. But, you know, I kind of feel like we're playing guinea pig for parts of it.
Or the burn of being an early adopter.
Yeah, that's it.
That truly is it.
Guilty.
Well, I guess that's it for now. We'll be back here next week, or at least you guys will. I will be out next week, so we're going to have hopefully a guest host sit in with you guys and talk about what's going on. But until next time, say goodbye, fellas.
Goodbye, fellas.
Please visit infiniteloopback.com for show notes and previous episodes. We can be found on Twitter. I'm at Brian B. That's B-R-I-A-N-B. Jim is at Big Jim. That's B-I-G-J-I-M. And Brad is at Meester Idle. That's M-E-E-S-T-E-R-I-D-L-E. Thanks for listening, and we hope to talk to you next time.